What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And right now, Vice President Pence and Ambassador Deborah Birx are conducting a briefing on the coronavirus. They're about 25 minutes in. We're going to back up to the beginning so you can hear the whole thing. And we should be starting that any second now. Okay.
Good afternoon. We just finished the Monday meeting of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Since the time the president established the task force here at the White House, it has literally met daily, and we continued that effort today. We added the head of the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, Seema Verma, to the task force today, as well as Robert Wilkie with the VA. First, a few basic facts and reports, and then we'll hear from other members of the task force about ongoing efforts. At the present moment, we have 43 domestic cases of the coronavirus, 48 cases of individuals who've returned to the United States. Of the domestic cases, 29 of the 43 are either in California or Washington State. And we have communities that are facing what the experts tell us could potentially be a cluster in those communities. Sadly, today, there were four additional fatalities, raising the number that six Americans have lost their life to the coronavirus. And on behalf of the president and all of the American people, we extend our deepest condolences and sympathies to the families of those that were lost. Despite today's sad news, let's be clear. The risk to the American people of the coronavirus remains low, according to all of the experts that we're working with across the government. And as the president has said, we're ready for anything, but this is an all-hands-on-deck effort. Today's activity really reflects the president's effort to bring the best minds of private industry together, the best leadership from around the country at every level. We had a good meeting this morning with governors from 50 states and three territories. I was able to convey to them the gratitude that the president and our entire administration feels, particularly for governors that are dealing with the coronavirus in their states, those that have taken repatriated personnel. I can say that what I hear from the nation's governors is that there has been a seamless relationship between all the agencies of the federal government and states thus far, and we're encouraged to hear that. But I told them that we are committed to a full partnership with state governments and to their health officials and to local health care providers going forward. We also met today with some of the leaders of the top pharmaceutical companies in the country. The president spoke to them not just about vaccines, which many of the companies are already beginning to work on, but just as importantly, the development of therapeutics. And it is remarkable to think that there may well be a vaccine going to clinical trials within the next 6 weeks. The nature of trials, as the experts have explained to us, is that the vaccine might yet not be available till late this year or early next, but the therapeutics giving relief to people that contract the coronavirus could literally be available by this summer or early fall. The most encouraging news from that meeting was that our pharmaceutical companies, which are recognized as the greatest in the world, all have already formed a consortium to work together to share information in the development of therapeutics and vaccines. A quick update. Yesterday, we were fully implementing the new travel advisories for portions of Italy and South Korea, and the implementation of screening of personnel from across those countries who are trying to take a direct flight to the United States of America. I was pleased in the White House Task Force meeting today to learn that within the next 12 hours, there will be 100% screening, all direct flights at all airports across Italy and across South Korea. The president has directed us to bring the full resources of the federal government and to bring the very best minds in this country to bear on this effort. And finally, today, I'm pleased to welcome to our White House team a world-renowned global health official and a physician. She will be my right arm through this effort, as the president has tasked me to lead the White House response to the coronavirus. And I'm grateful that Ambassador Deborah Birx, also Dr. Deborah Birx, will be on our team. And even on her first day, she's already been contributing significantly to our discussions. Dr. Birx serves as the U.S. government's leader today for combating HIV/AIDS globally and has developed an international reputation as that. She's a scientist, a physician, someone with three decades of public health expertise, including virulent diseases, vaccines, and has vast experience in interagency coordination. Dr. Birx and I have talked about the importance of bringing all of these various entities together to bring about President Trump's vision for a whole-of-government response to the coronavirus. So with that, I'd like to recognize Dr. Deborah Birx for a few introductory and welcome remarks, and thank you for stepping up one more time to serve our country.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. It's a pleasure to be here. I just arrived from South Africa last night. Everybody took great care of me. I had computer and phone in record time. It really shows the level of efficiency and expertise here to really get moving quickly. It's clear that the early work of the president, both with travel restrictions and the ability to quarantine, has bought us this time and space to have this task force be very effective. I have never worked with such incredible scientists and thoughtful policy leaders, and I got to spend the day with them. I'm trying to get up to speed as fast as possible, and I look forward to the days ahead of really working together to end this epidemic. Thank you.
Great. Secretary Azar,
you bet. Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President. I just want to first start out by saying how delighted we are that Ambassador Birx is going to be leading, coordinating these efforts across the government. Dr. Birx and I go way back. Dr. Birx and basically every leader at the Department of Health and Human Services go way back together. So we already have established relationships, and maybe not too way back, right? we already have very established, productive working relationships that I think are going to keep the interagency process working incredibly smoothly. And as the Vice President said, Dr. Birx already has been asking the right questions and challenging us on all the right scientific and policy matters that we need to focus on. I just want to begin by recapping the current situation that we face with COVID-19. As the Vice President mentioned, as of this morning, we have 43 confirmed or presumptive cases of the virus in the United States, excluding our repatriated cases. 17 of those cases are travel-related in one way or another. 26 are believed to be person-to-person spread. Because of the President's strong leadership and all of the hard work that our public health professionals have done at the local, the state, the federal level, the immediate risk to any individual American has been and does continue to be low. But the risk for people with possible exposure to identified cases can be high. What every one of our experts and leaders have been saying for more than a month now remains true. The degree of risk has the potential to change quickly, especially if we see sustained spread of the disease around the world, which could qualify this disease as a pandemic. As Dr. Fauci said this morning, we will see more cases of community spread in the United States. As we've emphasized for some time now, we all need to prepare for the potential need. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best. In some places, we will have to use the range of our mitigation efforts. In fact, we already are working closely with Santa Clara County and the state of Washington, in particular King County, to assist them in thinking through some of the best practices from our pandemic action plan, as well as learnings from Singapore and Hong Kong around the most effective community mitigation efforts, such as temporary school closures or even more titrated responses Dr. Shukat has talked to you about, such as having school, but perhaps not having assemblies in school. That's why the president has taken an unprecedented whole-of-government approach to protecting the American people, including the steps in the last few days to radically expand and improve the testing that we have and to improve access to respirators needed by healthcare workers. The vice president, Dr. Shuket of the CDC, and I spoke with basically almost every governor that we have this morning, and we greatly appreciate their close cooperation with us. I also wanted to now introduce an individual who I asked the vice president to have joined this task force because the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services play such a vital role. $1.3 trillion of spending here in the United States, providing health care to 60 million American seniors. And as we've seen, this disease can have a disproportionate severity impact on the elderly as well as the medically frail. And so Seema Verma, our administrator, has a very important responsibility with regard to funding of care, whether it's therapeutics or vaccines or diagnostics for our senior citizens, but also a vital role that you may not know of in regulating long-term care facilities, such as nursing homes and other health care facilities, a very important regulatory function. So I'm delighted that Administrator Verma is formally joining the task force. And let me turn it over to Seema now. Seema?
Thank you, Secretary Azar. So for the Trump administration and CMS, patients come first, and the health and the safety and welfare of America's patients and provider workforce is our highest priority. So let me start with what CMS is. And as the Secretary said, we are the nation's largest insurer, covering over 130 million Americans between Medicare, Medicaid, and the individual insurance market. And some of these are our nation's most vulnerable populations, those in poverty, the elderly, and children, and so forth. Critically, we do have a regulatory responsibility for pretty much every healthcare institution in America. This includes facilities such as hospitals, critical access hospitals, nursing homes, home health agencies, dialysis facilities, surgery centers, and the list goes on. And that gives us a very critical role in addressing the coronavirus. We are responsible for enforcing the quality guidelines based in part on information from partner agencies like the CDC. And so let me stress that CMS has long-standing infectious disease policies already in place that we've used effectively for other outbreaks such as influenza. And so healthcare facilities already have these procedures in place and should be prepared for what they may see. And we're going to continue to proactively update our regulations. We're going to be working with CDC. Right now, like I said, those are already in place, and it's our job to make sure that healthcare facilities are effectively implementing those guidelines. And we will work with the CDC to determine whether we need to update or change those. Also, we are looking at what we cover and clarifying the types of products and services that our programs will be able to pay for in terms of Medicaid and Medicare. And with that, I'll turn it over.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Seema.
Thank you for stepping up. I want to recognize a couple other members of our team. Tony Fauci, National Institute of Health. Thank you, Doctor. Yeah,
thank you very much, Mr. Vice President. I just want to make three comments and points. First of all, to underscore what the Vice President and with Secretary Azar said, we had a really extraordinary meeting with the CEOs of a variety of individuals in the pharmaceutical and biotech business, several of whom were in the room were people we were actually already actively collaborating with, and their enthusiasm about getting involved in helping us along with the development of products and the availability of products, be they vaccines, monoclonal antibodies, or therapeutics, it was very gratifying. Second, I'm very pleased that the President and Vice President will be visiting the NIH tomorrow, and we're going to have the opportunity to show them firsthand in real time the kinds of things we were doing. And finally, just one comment about Ambassador Dr. Birx. So a couple of people up here have said, you know, I go back a long time with Dr. Birx. Nobody goes back as long as I go with Ambassador Birx. She was actually a fellow in my program as a trainee, and we knew she was a star then. And now what has happened over the years, she's become a superstar. Together, we saw the first patients with HIV back in the early 80s. We were involved in a vaccine trial that was the first successful trial with HIV. We've known each other through PEPFAR. I had the privilege and the honor, among others, of putting together the PEPFAR program for President Bush, and she was the ambassador in charge of the PEPFAR program. So I can't tell you how excited I am to finally, once again, get back and being a partner with Debbie Birx.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. And finally, Dr. Bob Redfield, CDC. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. What I would like to do is just recognize that CDC continues to work and provide support to really the backbone of our public health system in this nation, which is the state, local, tribal, and territory health departments. And these teams continue to work to identify new cases, isolate and contact trace these, to work together to try to limit the transmission of the coronavirus. And working with our public health partners, we continue to be able to identify new community cases, as the Secretary said, we always anticipated, and use our public health assets to aggressively, again, confirm those cases, isolate, do contact tracing, to use our public health tools to limit the spread of this virus. I want to echo what was said by the Vice President and the Secretary, that despite seeing these new community cases, that shows you we have a public health community across this country in action, the risk to the American people is low. I also want to add my looking forward, and I know my entire agency is looking forward to the President and the Vice President's and the Secretary's visit to come to Atlanta on Friday and get to meet a lot of the wonderful people that form the backbone of this great agency. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. We'll take a few questions. Steve Holland, Reuters. Where are you, Steve?
Based on what we've seen so far, how quickly do you expect this virus to spread throughout the United States?
Let me refer that to the experts. Go ahead, Bob.
Are there any details about this cluster in Washington State?
And that was the press conference. They're taking questions right now. So we're going to cut away from this. We're coming up here on a commercial break. And again, our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And I have to be very, very honest that this was not a strong confidence builder, because all they really talked about is they're putting a structure together. They're having a lot of meetings. And it didn't really sound like they've got a solution for this. Now, I could be wrong, and if you've got a different opinion, please call on in and sort me out on that. All righty, getting on back to the world of computers and computer-type stuff here. Apple agrees to a $500 million settlement for throttling older iPhones, and it covers people who bought any product in the iPhone 6 and 7 lineup, which Apple secretly throttled to conserve battery life. Apparently, the settlement was filed in the California court last Friday. By default, Apple will offer $25, ooh, a whole $25, to any current or former owner of a covered iPhone. Named class members will receive $1,500 or $3,500, and around $90 million will go toward attorneys. It looks like the attorneys won that one here. The settlement has a minimum payout of $310 million, so the payment might increase if few people file claims. Conversely, if payments exceed the $500 million cap, each iPhone owner will receive less money. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, they're mucking about with my iPhone, which I bought and paid for. And I don't think $25 is enough. I think they ought to basically replace the batteries and put the phones back up to the original speed that we paid for. That's what I think ought to happen. It just seems like every time a company shortchanges us on our products, you know, there'll be a settlement, most of which goes to the attorneys, and we're left with an inferior product. Okay, we got to take another break here for commercials. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And a reminder that Republic Broadcasting is in the middle of a fundraising drive. And the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And the phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And our television has that little red thing at the top for the emergency broadcast system. Apparently, we are under a tornado watch here. Right now. So my goodness, right here in our county. So I'm looking out the window and it's looking dark and gloomy. And I'm going to have my camera handy in case something noteworthy whizzes by the window. We had a tornado actually hit our street when we lived on Oahu, and it hit just a little way down the hill from us and tore up a tree. So get whisked off to the land of Oz. Okay. Apparently, Warner Brothers and some of the other media companies did a test of a new 8K television format. We've all seen the 4K televisions in the store, and frankly, my eyes being what they are, I can't tell the difference between regular, high-def TV versus the 4Ks. And apparently this research program, they discovered that most consumers can't tell the difference between 4K and 8K. It depends on your visual acuity and how far you are from the screen. And yes, if you get right up close to the screen, you can see the difference. But if you're sitting back on your sofa, you know, with your beer and your pretzels there in your hand, I think 8K is not going to catch on. It's kind of like 3D. It was a fad, came and went. The TV that we got on our extended warranty is 3D, and I think we've watched it in 3D mode like twice in all the years that we've had it. All right, over in Great Britain, pardon me, there's a woman who claims she was given experimental puberty-blocking drugs at 16 without being warned of the consequences, and she is now the star witness in a landmark case. The Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust, which runs the UK's first gender clinic in London, is being sued over concerns it gave powerful drugs to children as young as 12 years old without proper consent. I mean, 12 years old? That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So this Kira Bell, 23, started gender reassignment at the clinic when she was a teenager after she felt suicidal and asked to be called by a boy's name in school. She was prescribed hormone blockers to halt the development of her female body after just 3 1-hour appointments. But Ms. Bell has now stopped transitioning and argues staff did not challenge her want to become a teenage boy. Ms. Bell is now waiting to see if she has fertility issues following the drugs and claims she should not have been rushed into treatment because children cannot give adequate consent. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree on that. Children at that age, because they haven't actually hit puberty, they don't know what their sexuality is. I think transitioning children of that age amounts to child abuse. And I really do think it ought to be stopped. Okay, there's been a little bit of a whoopsie over at SpaceX. Their Starship Super Rocket had a little bit of a whoopsie. They were doing a routine pressurization test on the prototype, and it literally ruptured and exploded on the launch pad. They were using inert nitrogen, but apparently it blew up on the launch pad at the company's South Texas facility after being tested for pressure with inert liquid nitrogen. The photographs from the morning after show the extent of the damage, which we're certain will not be reused. Well, if they were using liquid nitrogen, that is very, very cold, and it would have made the outer hull very, very brittle. See what's going to happen with that. All right, the U.S. Department of Defense has upgraded WatchCon 2, a probable crisis, to WatchCon 1, an imminent crisis. People are asking, is this due to the coronavirus? Maybe, maybe not. Apparently over in Lesbos, a Greek Orthodox church has been vandalized by the refugees that are pouring across the border from Syria. More than 500 refugees grouped together to head down to the port of Mytilene from Moria camp. The group was confronted by members of MAT, the tactical police, along the way, and resorted to stoning the Greek authorities in order to continue their journey, only to be met with chemical and flash grenades. Residents on Lesbos remain united and are trying to maintain a strong front against the situation unfolding on their island. Saturday Night Live, I haven't watched it since the original cast there, but apparently John Mulaney opens SNL with a joke about the assassination of President Donald Trump. Guys, that's the shark. That is way, way over the top, and you don't joke about things like that. So, all righty. Socialist Sanders is the most dangerous major party presidential contender in U.S. history. I'm not entirely sure that that's accurate. Okay. That's in Australia had to pull an entire beach towel out of a python stomach. Well, those pythons will eat anything. We're going to take a break here for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Tom in Utah. Aloha, Tom. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I didn't hear the word zoonotic epidemiology in that report.
Okay,
CDC, and why? Is not fully honest. I'm sorry. In other words, the primary
Can you explain what that means?
Zoo means animal to man. That's the primary pathway of disease into mankind, is when they handle the blood and tissues of the animal kingdom. The animals don't suffer from the influenza because their body temperatures are higher. But they are perfect vectors. They should be killing people.
We know that the BSL lab in Wuhan was working with bats.
Right. And the bats infect the other livestock. So they should have been saying to the public, if you're going to prepare an animal for a meal, you should treat it like a surgical operation. In other words, you better be using the same protocols as a food handler, as well as a surgeon in a surgery. you know, it's sad that they don't put that information out there, too. That is the primary method of infection.
I don't know that it's a primary method of infection. It's certainly
it
a method of infection. Well, in this case, they were saying that's, I think it was 26 of the known cases here in the U.S., they had found a contact, either somebody who had been to China or, you know, I understand that animals can pass diseases to humans, whether it's pigs or birds.
Well, see, the people that have been to China, the people in China that have been to China are going to be consuming from the common food supply. So it's not
okay.
necessarily that they've been in touch with somebody, because the organisms don't survive in the environment. They really don't. They have to be protected or shielded within the blood and tissues, the fat of an animal.
Or they can survive within a blob of phlegm when somebody coughs or sneezes. And according to Senator Cotton, the virus particles can survive inside, you know, a phlegm blob for up to 9 days.
Well, anyway, they should be being more honest and let you know that that's another pathway. If they want to protect the industry, they don't want to have people freaking out, you know, not buying their steaks and hamburger and stuff. And the milk is the one that's really dangerous because it's never sterilized. It's pasteurized, but that's not sterilization. Now, that is a common pathway, too, more common than person to person.
I have a hard time on that one. I understand all of these things can potentially be vectors, but why is it more common than human to human transmission, which apparently in the case of COVID-19 has already been established?
Yeah, I'm sure it's been established. Okay. Anyway, we should be talking about that as well. Sure, it's possible to get it person to person, but the other way is even more dominant. But they don't say a word. Yeah, that was my field of operation for the first 20 years of my professional experience.
What did you do?
I worked on the virus in the Four Corners. What's that?
I was just going to ask, you know, what is your CV? What did you do?
Pathology. Both veterinary and human. In fact, I was asked to go down and be adjunct to the Hunter virus experience in the Four Corners in 1996. And they were telling the people it was in the dust and droppings from the rodent, but in fact, the rodents were being consumed by the chickens, and then they were eating the chickens. The chickens have a high temperature, so it didn't affect the chickens, except for the pullets, you know, the babies. The same thing with the piglets in 1918 and 1919, when Dr. Cohen observed the die-off of the piglets. So he warned the packing industry there in Missouri and Iowa not to send their product out because the adults who had a stronger immune system, which ended up in the food industry supply for the soldiers, including. And that's the way it got to be transferred across the ocean without any problem. I mean, the reality is, when you're handling animal tissue like an individual in a surgery, you should be protected. That's what's required in a food handler's permit. So we should be telling people exactly what we tell them in a food handler's qualification.
But once you cook the meat, the virus is dead.
Yeah, but it's the handling previous to the cooking. Because you got little fissures in your hand. That's your fingernails. I mean, not your fingernails. That's your fingerprints. And that'll entrap that blood and tissue from the creature that you're preparing. And if you put your finger in your mouth or your eye or whatever, it's now into your interior. So the reality is they need to be advising people to take cautions or precautions when they're handling a cadaver from the refrigerator.
Well,
and see, the birds from China have been running a relay race across the Aleutian Islands. Isn't it kind of curious that it shows up in Washington down the coastal area, including California.
Well, the coastal area, that's where all the airports are that the planes are coming into, and apparently one-third of the population of Vancouver, Washington is Chinese. The Chinese have been moving over here for quite some time, and that may explain why Washington has got such a disproportionate.
When they're stocking that ship for the travel across the ocean, they're buying or purchasing from the Chinese vendors. So it's not only the soldiers that are vectoring the infection, but it's actually the food supply in the animal products that are not prepared or not cooked thoroughly. But that's reality, so I just want...
You raise a very, very good point, and somebody ought to be looking at that issue if there is, in fact, a vector in the food supply.
They don't want to interfere with that because it's business. I've worked with the CDC most of my life, and I know they're very cautious about letting people know anything that's going to interfere with business. I hate to say it that way, but that is the fact. And so the best thing to do is just take the same procedural precautions as you would if you were working in a restaurant.
Which means gloves on your hands and a face mask.
Yeah. What an idea, huh? Anyway, yeah. I just wanted to share that with you, Mike.
Well, thank you very much for that information. And, yeah, you do raise an issue that ought to be looked at. And you're right. We didn't hear anything about that in this press conference. I was not impressed with the press conference. All they were saying is, we've had meetings, we've had meetings, we've had meetings with these people, we've had meetings with those people over there.
That's all they do in D.C.
Yeah.
That's all they do in D.C. They have meetings and nothing gets done. Nothing of any real consequence gets done. Anyway, I've been there, done that, and I ended up losing my sight and almost my life when I testified in Congress. They were so grateful for what I was telling them that they made sure I was readjusted. Anyway, I have an attitude about D.C., you notice.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people have an attitude about D.C. right now. Most Americans are not happy with the way our tax money is being spent. And, interestingly enough, they've got a banner headline on the Fox News, should there be an economic stimulus to help fight the coronavirus crisis? So you're right. It's all about the business. It's all about keeping the stock market going. It's all about keeping the markets going. There is a big, ugly cloud out there on the horizon. Going to keep an eye on that one. So thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. I'm going to take a break from the news here because I do want to talk about being prepared. And again, as I said last week, I don't want to scare you. I don't want to be the cause of a panic. But the reality that we have to face is that we're not getting good information from the corporate media, from the government. They've all got different agendas, keeping the stock market going, keeping people's money in the savings accounts. But we're already seeing the panic buying out there in the store, so things are going to run out. So now is the time to be prepping. Don't wait until it's, tens of thousands of dead already in the streets of America. Now's the time to do it. And as I said last week, if you buy up a bunch of storable food and this thing blows over and turns out to have been nothing, you still have the food. It's not like you're throwing the money away. You're not wasting the money. So you want to have some stored water, storable food, extra vials of your prescription medication for you and for your pets. If your pet is on medication from the veterinarian, you want to have that. Maybe even a spare pair of eyeglasses. You want to have a small stash of cash, junk silver if things really get bad. And again, please do not tell your friends and neighbors what you've got. Advise them, prep, stock up, be ready to deal with this thing. And by the way, I'm sorry, Mr. Surgeon General, I think people should have face masks. because we don't know what's really going on. We're being kept in the dark about a lot of this stuff. Okay, we've got another caller on the line, Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Michael. Yeah, the Costco's around here are out. Just out
yes.
of everything. Toilet paper, canned goods, canned beef, meat, cleaning stuff. If I was going to put one tip, you might have everybody say one tip that is good. A couple bottles of bleach where you can
yes.
purify water if necessary and also purify your clothes. Put everything, whites or whatever that's bleachable, and put it in and bleach them, and that should help out. But buy a couple bottles, a couple gallons of bleach would be good. But Mike, I listened to that press conference on your show, and it sounded like a bunch of glad handing. Oh, we know each other, old boy, posturing for their moment, their 15 moments of minutes of fame that they're hoping to extend. It sounded ridiculous. I wish it would be terse and straightforward and factual. We've got 43 cases or whatever it is. This is going on. This has been declared an emergency. We're taking these actions with suppliers. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow. But I have no confidence in what I heard today. Yeah.
No, me neither. I was not impressed by that meeting at all. They said an infinite deal of nothing, and they said it very well, but it was still an infinite deal of nothing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We don't know anything now that we didn't know before, other than a couple of these guys know each other, and they all think each other are great. It's like the Academy Awards, man.
Yes. You're absolutely right. You know, it's out there intriguing and
matches.
Yes.
Matches is another thing that everybody's got to have. You know, I don't think people have thought about that, but I'm not. Are we sure the power at some point? Did they ever brown out or Wuhan or any of these cities?
Not that I'm aware of. In fact, there was a story that the Chinese government was asking factories to run their electric equipment to keep up demand. To make it look like things were working. But yeah, if you can afford it, having a generator with extra fuel, and you're going to have to, fuel does not store very well for a long period of time. So what you can do is, have a gas can, and you fill your car from the gas can, then you fill the gas can at the gas station so that you have a constantly rotating supply of gasoline. You can, at the auto parts store, get an additive that you can put into a gasoline can that will extend the life of the gasoline, but it's still only going to be for about 6 months. So
is that the limit, Mike, 6 months?
That's my understanding, is even with the additive, that gasoline starts to deteriorate after 6 months.
You know, another thing is ramen. The nice thing about ramen is even if the power is out, it doesn't take a lot of energy to boil water for ramen. It takes less energy for ramen than it does for pasta, you know, which is another good one, really. But anyways, that's it for me, Mike. I just want to chime in and say how utterly unimpressed I am. So,
Well, thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go and switch over to Joe in Nome. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Yeah, don't forget egg noodles. They keep real good, too.
Yes, they do. So does mayonnaise for some reason.
Well, not that stuff with the olive oil. That doesn't separate it on me. But it seems to me, well, I hardly ever get sick, right? If I do catch a cold or the flu, it's only going to last one day. A couple calls ago, he was talking about surgical masks for food preparers.
Yes.
But it seems to me that any chance of a pandemic would be greatly reduced if people just cook for themselves. Don't go to a place where crowds congregate to eat, you know, out of a single kitchen. It seems to me. At any rate, the other thing I wanted to ask you, did you see a headline in Drudge talking about independents in 2020 outnumber Republicans?
No, I didn't, but I'm not surprised. I think people are getting very discouraged with the two existing parties.
I got such a chuckle out of that. I found a silver round struck, you know, with Donald Trump at 2016.
Yeah.
with a terrible frown on it. And so I
all right, well,
Joe,
we got to let you go. I'm sorry. We got to take a commercial break. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today, and we are under a tornado watch here. in southern Indiana, extending into Kentucky, and the watch is going to run until 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I was looking at the radar image, and there are some very suspicious looking hot spots to the south of us, nothing really close to where we are, but we've already called all the friends and relatives and said, are you aware that this is going on? So the word has gone on out. All righty. So we're talking about prepping. We're talking about, again, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. They even made that comment during this press conference. And we all hope this is going to blow over. We hope it's going to be as here today, gone tomorrow, as SARS or MERS or the swine flu back in 2009. But what if it isn't? And you need to be prepared. And Peter was right. You should have matches, preferably weatherproof ones that have been dipped in wax, or a whole bag of disposable lighters. You should have probably a little stash of fuel someplace, maybe a little portable cook stove. And again, you need to look at your current situation, what you've got. And, you know, obviously all of this stuff costs a little bit of money and effort to put together. But what you need to be thinking about is what happens if you have to stay in your home for, say, 3 weeks. Now, that's not the longest incubation period that has been observed, apparently the longest one, according to that article in the British press, 94 days. That's 3 months. I think government-mandated quarantine, they're still saying 2 weeks' time. So that's what you should plan for, being able to feed your family, take care of them for a minimum of 2 weeks. You keep your door closed. You keep everybody inside. And have a good radio. Keep the batteries out of the radio. One of the things that really annoys me, and I discovered this when we were moving from Oahu, is that batteries left in electronics will leak, even the ones that say will replace your whatever, if the battery leaks. Well, if you're dealing with a crisis situation, an emergency, the warranty is worthless. Because what are you going to do? Drive on down and get the replacement batteries and a replacement radio? So, anyway, certainly around the world, it looks like people are taking this very, very seriously. I don't remember this much of a froth-up of closures and panic buying back in 2009 with the When Pigs Fly flu. So again, assess your current situation. Just say, am I ready to keep my family indoors at home for 3 weeks without having to contact the outside world? And by the way, one other thing that bleach is good for is sterilizing contact surfaces like shelves or some, you know, countertops. If somebody comes over to your house and visits and then turns out they've got the virus, you can use the bleach to wipe down wherever it is that they touched, because the bleach will just rip the DNA apart. Okay, there's the music. Time for us to get out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day. Please stay tuned for John Steadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. And we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.